Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Tommy Thomas, talent representative for the Independent Sports Entertainment Society, and you are listening to Live at the Armory with Fat House Bob and Loose Laura.
As only Tommy could put it.
Welcome to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show, the premier podcast of indie wrestling.
Maybe you ought to just change the name of the show to the Caleb Conley Show.
Our studio line is area code 213-816-1605 with your host, Bunkhouse Bob.
I don't sign autographs. I'm not, and I very, very rarely take pictures with people, but if people insist and they're nice, then I'll do that, so...
And the lovely Laura.
I am a true and total lady. I would never headbutt anybody.
Folks, it is Wednesday night. It is hashtag Independent Wrestling Wednesday, also known as hashtag I wish this damn cold would leave me alone Wednesday night. How y'all doing tonight, folks? My name is Bunkhouse Bob. I'm the co-host of this show. You are listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show. We're glad that you tuned in. We're glad that you're with us tonight. Folks, I'm not going to lie to you. Feeling a little under the weather tonight. Summer colds got me down. So if you hear me cough, if you hear me sneeze, if you hear me blow my nose, as professional as I want to be, you just can't stop the NyQuil Express. Sometimes it just happens. It just happens. Folks, we got a big show for you tonight. Guests tonight are Pandora, lady wrestler from the Georgia area, and also joining us tonight a little bit later on will be Joey Image, and we'll be talking about wrestling and injuries in wrestling and how that all goes together before, during, and after. Our studio number is 213-816-1605. Folks, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, our Twitter address is @FromTheArmory. We would really appreciate it if you could give us a follow on Twitter. And here, as always, to hand me my Hall's Breezers cough drops is none other than the lovely Laura.
That's right. I'm here to protect and serve.
Something needs protected. My voice needs to be protected. I am hoping that it will hold out. How are you tonight, Laura?
I'm doing fine, Bob, and I'm very sorry that you're under the weather and, you know, my good friend Nikki Tilton and I gave you some advice last night on Facebook, but you did not heed that advice, so I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I know. That advice would be really good if you guys had a life insurance policy on me. What you were basically trying to do is poison me, and I'll have you know that neither one of you are the beneficiary on my life insurance policy, just so that you know. And no, I'm not drinking any Conley-Aid, but we'll talk about Caleb freaking Conley later. God. At any rate, Laura, what's our Facebook info?
It is facebook.com/live.armory.night.
Folks, as some of you may know and some of you may not know, if you follow us on Twitter or if you're on Facebook, you would already know this. We can also be heard on www.fnxnetwork.com. If you go to their website, our stream can be found there for all of our overseas listeners, whether you're in Australia, the United Kingdom, the EU, Japan, wherever you may be at. A little bit easier link to find. Find us on fnxnetwork.com, so please check that out. Folks, I found out, unbeknownst to me, through some random social media post, I now know, Laura, that we are in a ratings war. You
it's
and I
war, Bob.
On the show. It is. It is on. This is the Wednesday Night Wars, folks. We are going up against TNA, who is currently on Wednesday nights. Now, here's how big this is. They moved to Wednesday nights, I believe, on the 20th of August, and I had no idea. TNA, a.k.a. Dixie Carter, says that TNA will be on Wednesday nights through the end of the year while talks continue with Spike. You hear that noise in the
would
background?
Crickets.
Everybody, this move is a calculated move on behalf of the Carter family and TNA management. Basically, what they want to do, people, is they want to stop going head-to-head against WWE Next, NXT, on Thursdays. They want to stop doing that. They want to stop going up against Thursday Night Football. So they're going to back up and they're going to go to Wednesdays. And to be honest with you, go ahead.
And SmackDown. SmackDown is moving from Friday nights to Thursday nights soon.
Right. So they're going to backpedal a day in the hopes that ratings will go up. But I was informed prior to airtime that the Wednesday night show, the 20th of August show, had the lowest ratings of the quarter. So
Wow. It's
probably because nobody knew that they moved. I mean, I would have thought that would have been big news. It would have been all over the place, all over social media. Maybe I'm just blind to it, but I missed it. So I don't know. Speaking of another missed opportunity, Laura, I don't know if you saw this, and I think this happened the last time. Shine had a show this past weekend. Am I right?
They did, and I knew about it, but I forgot about it, just to be honest with you.
I did not see anything on this show at all. Nothing. I didn't see anything on
it. It was on Evolve. You know, if you'd watched Evolve and FIP, they talked about it there, but I think that's the only place.
I mean, I didn't see anything on Facebook. I didn't see anything on Twitter. Usually see something. And the problem with the website is that they usually wait until the week prior before an event before they post information. Folks, you got to get a little bit ahead of the curve if you're going to run a show. Now, I understand that Shine runs tremendous shows, and I'm not knocking the Shine product at all. I'm a big fan of Shine. But you have to give some folks some notice. That's all I'm saying. Put something out there. Like I said, maybe I missed it. You know, folks, you let me know when I'm wrong any other time. I'm sure you'll let me know if I'm wrong now. So, I don't know.
WWN also sends out, like, I'm on their mailing list, and they send out alerts saying this, that, and the other. But I don't, and maybe I missed it, too, because a previous show guest, Amanda Rodriguez, made her debut at Shine this past weekend.
And we'd like to congratulate Amanda on her debut at Shine. Do you know whether or not she won her match or what the result was?
I don't believe she did win her match. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't believe she did. But she had a really good showing, and I know that there were a lot of positive things people were saying about that performance. So we really do congratulate Amanda because Amanda works really hard. And I think you're going to see a lot of great things coming out of Amanda Rodriguez in the next, I would say, probably year and a half, 2 years. So.
Yep, wish nothing but the best. All the success to Amanda Rodriguez. She's a very, very nice lady, class act.
Yes, she is.
Speaking of being excited over things, Laura and I were extremely excited this past weekend. We worked out something, and we're excited to announce that we now have a working relationship with Strong Style Life Clothing. They are the hottest provider of indie wrestling apparel on the market today. If you haven't seen their shirts, worn by the likes of Chris Sabin, Cedric Alexander, former show guest, Tessa Blanchard, former show guest, Caleb Conley, former show guest, you see the trend going here, folks, and others.
John Schuyler.
Yep, John Schuyler. I believe Corey Hollis has a shirt.
He does.
I am sure that there are more to come. If you have not seen their apparel, I urge you to go to www.ssl.com. www.wolfclothing.com and check them out. We'll have more on this working relationship as it unfolds over the course of the next several weeks, but we're very, very excited to have Strong Style Life Clothing on board with us, and we're behind them 100%.
We certainly are, and it's you know, I was talking about this with George Coles, and he was like, well, the girl who used to buy the Rock and Roll Express T-shirts at the shows when she was a kid is now going to have a T-shirt of her own, and it's a little surreal.
Yeah,
I mean,
didn't want to give away too much, but I know that folks have been asking about it, and we've been trying to get it done. Folks have been asking, is there going to be a Live from the Armory Wrestling Show T-shirt in the near future? The answer to that question is, yes, there will be. Can't provide the time frame for you yet, folks, but as soon as we get the information, as soon as we have everything in place, obviously we will give you all the information for people that have been asking about them. We are certainly humbled by it, and we're working our due diligence to get done the things that you want to have done. So just putting that out there. Tell me,
yes,
Laura, about another George.
Let's talk about George South. And I just can't really say enough good things about George South because he is just absolutely the bomb. Mm-hmm. I went down a couple weeks ago, watched a training, and it was very surreal to me to see this man that I watched growing up, you know, wrestle, and there he is teaching people and being very patient with people. But he is going to have a show in Elkin, North Carolina, this upcoming Saturday. I believe the bell time is at 8 o'clock for his students. The only people that are going to be wrestling on this card are his students, and, of course, his students consist of Tessa Blanchard. Caleb still trains with George. Amanda trains with George. I don't want to give away too many of the people, but those are some big names that will be. Well, probably, I know Tessa will be there. She, I think, is giving away autographed pictures to everybody who buys a ticket, I believe, is what I saw somewhere. So it's the Elkin National Guard Armory, the same place that $5 Wrestling took place last month. So go out and support George and his students, and you can actually see the stars of the future right there in front of you, literally. So let's give, you know, help George out and his students, and I'm sure you guys will be entertained. Again, that's at the Elkin National Guard Armory in Elkin, North Kakalaki. Bell time, I believe, is at 8 o'clock. If you want any more information about it, I believe you can visit George's Facebook page. You can look up George South. You'll find him.
That's very cool. That'd be a very cool event to go to, just for the obvious, you know. And we talked about this before with when we had Tess on the show about her posting up some video of George working with them in the ring, and just his calm, even demeanor about what he wants to see, what he doesn't want to see, praise when you're doing the right thing, instruction when you're not doing it the way that he wants it to be done. You know, so I've said it before, you know, it's a far cry different from the old videos that WCW used to put out about the power plant, you know, with Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker running around, guys puking everywhere, you know, all that other junk. I'm not saying that that's not the way that, you know, that Sergeant Buddy shouldn't have ran his school. I mean, that's how it worked. But just those two different, you know, stark contrasts in style, just blown away. And, you know, George is an incredible person, an incredible human being, who just happens to be somebody that's a wrestler and a wrestler that is a trainer as well. So hats off to George South and all the good work that he does. I know
and
that you had – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and certainly you also get a cool nickname when you train with George. So, I mean, what more can you want? My friend Crystal is – he calls her China because Crystal has the long black hair. And my friend Rachel, he calls her Dark Journey. So that's pretty funny. But, yeah, What else did I want to talk about, Bob? Did I want to talk about Tommaso Ciampa?
You wanted to talk about, I saw this, you know, Laura and I bounced back and forth ideas about, evidently Tommaso Ciampa went off the deep end at Death Before Dishonor, and I saw that he had put out that he had been suspended, and then you put down, like in parentheses or whatever, new Kevin Steen. Tell me what your thoughts were about that.
I think that's what they're trying to do, because if you remember, when I first started watching Ring of Honor, and I'm a latecomer to the show, ladies and gentlemen, I'll admit it, Kevin Steen had just came back from being suspended for like a year or something like that. And he was running amok all over Ring of Honor. He was package pile driving everybody, like his T-shirt says, and just being a general nuisance to poor old Jim Cornette. And I think this is what I think they see, that they need someone to fulfill a role again. And maybe, you know, Tommaso is the best person to do that. But, yeah, he attacked a, was it a ring announcer, I believe?
I think so. I think you're
and,
right.
And, I mean, just totally beat the out of him. So, yeah. So I'm thinking that he's going to be the new Kevin Steen, the new guy who's, you know, kind of like I don't want to say a loose cannon because it's been used over and over again, but he's kind of like the guy that's living on the edge and it's just going to take us a little bit of pushing to push him over. So,
well, maybe they're finally just pushing his gimmick. Isn't he billed as the Sicilian psychopath? So
that's
maybe
true, he is.
Maybe they're just trying to get him to push, you know, push that. I mean, it's one thing to come out to the ring and, you know, hold your fingers up against your head and, you know, make a lot of faces. It's another thing for him to be angry, crazy, and live up to that name. So, you know, I don't know. That made it just my thought, you know, could be.
Well, I could think of people, you know, that, you know, they could do worse with, you know.
That's true.
I think they've, you know, put, I think they've, you know, pushing the right person.
Why don't you talk about Trans South, and I'll be right back.
Yes, would like to announce that Trans South Wrestling has a card. It is September 6th. It's on a Saturday. I don't have any information, but that information, unfortunately, because they have not posted that yet, it's going to be at the Union County Fairgrounds Sportatorium. Oh, I think that's in Gaffney, South Carolina. I apologize if that's not correct. So, yeah, we're looking forward to hearing more about that. And, of course, I'm sure my good friend Cameron Cade, remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's Cade's Kingdom. We just live in it. I'm sure he'll be there. I'm sure Tessa Blanchard will be there getting heat like nobody's business. And I'm sure that the Tommy Thomas, the gentleman that you heard opening up the show, I'm sure he'll be there getting heat as well. And I would love to make it to a Trans South show because I hear nothing but great things about those shows. And I think it's, from what I can gather, it's like a return to wrestling, like the Crockett wrestling when Heat really meant Heat, you know. Tess is arguing with a little old lady about, I have no clue what it was over, but the security guard had stepped in between them, and it was just magical. While Bob
I'm back, Laura. The venue, I just got a message. The venue for TSW, for Trans South, is it Gaffney at the Power Company?
Oh, okay, because that's not what they put on their Facebook page.
Okay.
Okay, so it's at the Power Company in Gaffney.
Yeah, that's what I'm being told. It's a Gaffney at the Power Company is what I was told. That's okay. I ran into the same issue. I was going to run over an NWA Elite card later on in the show, but the show card, the flyer says one date, the website says another. The website says one venue. The flyer says a different venue. you know, that kind of thing. So sometimes you run into that. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, exactly. I had, like that, I said, I'd seen a show that's going to be in November that's going to be at the power company that they had advertised, but I guess this one is going to be at the power company as well, September 6th. And as soon as they get out some times and a card, we'll be more than happy to, you know, cover that for.
Was that the one with the poster with Mick Foley on it?
That's the November show.
That is the November
yeah.
show. That is at the power company at Gaffney. So the information I think you gave
yeah.
out was correct. Folks, we'll try to get that all straightened out. We're getting double information. But right now what I'd like to do, folks, I'd like to bring on the line with us. So this is a lady that I had heard about a few months ago. I had put out a message about some talent in the southern United States. And I kept on getting this name come back called Pandora. And I'm like, you know, what is this Pandora thing? And did a little work into it and checked her out. And I'm really glad that I did, to be honest with you. And got several recommendations. Man, you got to get this lady on your show. You got to get her on your show. So without further ado, as booked, as billed, as promised, joining us now on the phone is Pandora. Pandora, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. We're live on the air, folks. Studio number is 213-816-1605. Pandora, on the phone with us is the other co-host of the show, Laura. Laura, you want to say hello to Pandora?
Hey, Pandora, what's happening?
How you doing, Laura? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
First and foremost, I want to apologize, Pandora. I'm a little under the weather, so if I cough or if I sneeze, you'll have to pardon me. So I wanted to.
Well, I'm a little hungover, so that makes both of us.
two different types of sickness.
Yeah.
I'm hungover
hey,
from NyQuil,
surgery.
So.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank you for being on the show with us tonight. We really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be with us. Like I had said, I put out a tweet out asking followers and listeners to send me some names of wrestlers in the South that we should pay attention to, and your name came up several times. How special is that connection that you have with your fans?
That's awesome. It makes me feel really good. It makes me feel like I'm doing something, that's for sure.
Now, on your Facebook page, I see a lot of photos with you and kids. How important
yes.
is it to not dismiss them simply because of their age?
Oh, I mean, it's the kids. I fully believe that it's the kids just as well as the adults that's coming. I mean, the kids make – I wouldn't be surprised if it's the kids that make the adults come. So you got a whole family coming, and it's, you know, the kids making the adults come, which in turn brings fans. They run around talking. They idolize me. You know, it's just – it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling because, you know, I like being a role model. I have kids of my own.
Right.
So
no, that's completely understood. Speaking of photos, and if I didn't get to this right off the bat, then I probably should be fired. If we didn't address your ring attire or your gear, we'd be complete morons. It's probably some of the coolest stuff that I think that we've seen. How has this evolved? And where do you draw your inspiration from?
You know, I tell you what, I started with pigtails when I first started. I started with pigtails and little Russell panties and stuff like that. And then I guess as time has gone by, I've actually taken bits and pieces from different wrestlers, managers that I've liked, and I've incorporated it all into one, and that's Pandora. I like to be different. So with each piece of me is somebody that I like or that has inspired me somehow.
Very cool. That's very cool.
Well, going from that, I have a question. I saw a picture of you in face paint and a Harley Quinn shirt, which I love Harley Quinn. She's one of my favorite DC villains. And I was just wanting to know, who is your favorite character, you know, to paint up or dress up as?
Harley Quinn, hands down. I love Harley Quinn. I even have her tattooed on my leg.
No way!
Oh, yeah.
Now you just need you a Mr. J.
You know, I see. I'm not big on the dudes. I'm all about women power. So I'm all for the female villains, female superheroes, everything. So. Yep.
I don't blame you. Your sisters are doing it for themselves. That's for sure.
Yes, they are.
Well, I had seen that you have the nickname or the moniker Calm Like a Bomb. Where did that come from?
That came from Wicked Nemesis. He's at GCW. He used to manage me. He actually helped me out a lot with my gimmick, and he's the one that actually introduced me to the mask. He gave me my first mask. So he, I guess, put the moniker together, Calm Like a Bomb, and I guess it stuck. So, because we all know bombs are not calm.
Exactly. It's kind of like, well, when you hear that, you're thinking, wait a minute. Bombs aren't calm, so she must not be either.
Right. You just never know. You never know what to expect from me, that's for sure.
And see, I think we need more people like that in wrestling, you know, because I think that keeps people guessing. It keeps people interested, you know, in the character, because you don't know
what to
expect. Because sometimes things are in wrestling are kind of cookie cutter and like, oh, I didn't see that coming from my whole life. But I like that. I like that a lot.
Right,
and I want to ask you, what was it like to manage Mr. Sleaze, Eric Thompson, in AWE?
It was fun. It was fun. It was different. And I mean, I really didn't know what was going to happen until like right before. But I mean, yeah, it was fun. It was different. He's a cool guy, cool dude. I actually liked him. So
he certainly has a different gimmick, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, I like associating myself with all different kinds of people. It doesn't matter. I can find a way to make it work with anybody. So that's just me.
Well, that's awesome. I do apologize. I'm not shirking my responsibilities. I'm trying to tweet and ask questions at the same time. I've read that you have a very athletic background. So what made you choose pro wrestling over, say, gymnastics or skiing?
I like contact sports. I love to fight, and I can wrestle and not get put in jail, basically.
We've heard that before. I like that.
Yeah.
See how that keeps coming back around?
Yeah,
I think a
woman is the one that tells us that.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been told I'm safe, but I'm stiff. I like, when anybody turns around and says wrestling's fake or whatever, the amount of bruises, black eyes, bloody lips, injuries that I've had and injuries I've seen other people have, I mean, I make contact because even if it's just light contact, which I don't really make light contact, I kind of make contact, I don't believe that it's good if it's not good, you know, like that's the only way I could say it. I wrestled guys my first 5 years in the business. I'm still wrestling guys twice the size of me, and if I don't completely put every single pound of me into it, then you don't want to see it. And people keep wanting to see me wrestling guys, and so, and by guys I mean AJ Steele, who seems to have it out for me and follows me everywhere. So had to put that name out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you need to put him in his place too.
I try. It doesn't always work. I try hard.
I can imagine.
Yes. I try very. Believe me. I give it my all. It just, you know, doesn't necessarily work.
Well, you might need to enlist our good friend Steel Chair.
You know, I even think a steel chair. I've done everything. You know, I wanted to touch on the mixed tag team thing. I knew you would probably bring it up, but I wanted to touch on it. My partner being Josh Storm, he's the other half of the Dream Team. And
right.
I wanted to also touch on the fact of why intergender matches and intergender tag teams is so important, because basically us girls who have worked our butts off, we deserve just as much of a shot of being in the ring with the guys as anybody. I can basically, people like Tracy Taylor, Amber O'Neill, Tasha Simone, we can hold our own against guys in the ring, so why not have it? We put on some of the best matches. Mickey Knuckles, Jesse Bell. I mean, some of your best matches, to be honest with you, especially here in Georgia, have been mixed tags. And they've happened at UIW and SFCW, if I might add.
So, interesting.
Yeah, definitely wanted to put that out there.
Well, yes, we will definitely talk about the mixed tag. I guess I don't want to call it a phenomenon, but it seems to be one of the hottest things on the indie scene right now, and we'll definitely get to that. I did want you to explain to me what session wrestling is.
What? Session wrestling?
Session wrestling. I think I had seen, maybe it's like a custom match or something.
Yeah, okay, customs. Yeah, I don't knock anybody that does them, but I don't do them anymore. And, I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them, but as for forwarding your wrestling career, professional wrestling career, it doesn't do that. It's basically a financial thing, you know, and it's basically where fans, they script matches and they write in and they have the wrestlers that they want do the matches. They're like a booker for their match.
Right.
They leave it to the fans, which, you know, like I said, absolutely nothing wrong with it. And, you know, but it doesn't do anything for your career, and I'm kind of focusing on that. So that's why I did.
I can't say that I blame you. I wasn't exactly sure what it was, and I had seen that you had done that before, and I thought, well, she would be the person that would tell me all about that. That's really interesting. I had no clue those things happened, not at all. What is your opinion of televised women's wrestling? I had seen in an interview where you were not very happy at all that Snooki participated at that WrestleMania that year.
Well, I just think that sometimes it's okay to throw a little humor in wrestling and all that stuff, but, I mean, I just don't believe that you should get in the ring, be it woman or a man, if you are not trained. You don't belong in the wrestling ring isn't a playground, and that's how people look at it as. It's not a playground. It's where I work. It's where these other people that wrestle and have trained hard work. We get hurt. We sweat. You know, we bleed. And I don't like to make it a joke. Like, you know, you don't go to somebody's job like a doctor. You know, his operating room, that's not a joke. You don't play in there. So you don't play in our wrestling ring. So, you know, you get in there, you know, shits and giggles is all good, but you get in there, I definitely would hope that you would think that you might just get put down getting in there, especially with the wrong people and making a joke out of it.
I can see that, and I don't blame you a bit. And as a worker, I think I would be a little concerned about my safety with someone that is not properly trained. Even though I know what I'm doing, you know, the other person also has to know what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. And in too many instances, it's going on now, there are girls, somebody touched on it, actually, Josh Von Wheeler touched on it on Facebook, about how promotions and promoters and are just getting girls to do their shows, either because they're cheap or for other reasons, and, you know, they're not trained, and they're making us look bad. And I'm not going to say any names because I don't do that. I don't like to bury people because hopefully these people that have been called out will get themselves better. So I'm not trying to, you know, smudge anybody's names.
Right.
But, you know, if you're not trained, and even if you are, there is always a possibility of learning more. So don't think you're holier than thou. That's all I'm, you know. There's quite a few untrained people out there, men and women. I'm not just going to say women. So
I'm sure. I'm very sure. And you touched on the whole, you know, you can always learn more. And I think that's a theme that we hear with the guests that we have is that, you know, they're always perfecting their craft. And if you don't perfect your craft, if you don't learn, you're going to stay stagnant and you're not going to move forward. And I think that seems like that's the name of the game. You have to keep moving.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm still learning today. The basics. I'm still learning today. I learn something new every day. And, I mean, you got to keep your mind open like that, that you don't know everything, and there's always room to learn. So.
I think that is an absolutely awesome attitude to have. And I want to talk a little bit about, it was called the South's First Woman's First Blood Match that you had with
Aisha
Sunshine. Aisha, sorry about that. Did that bring, in your opinion, did that bring women's wrestling in that area to a whole new level?
I believe that, yeah, me and Aisha had a feud going on for about a year, and any type of match that you can imagine, we did. And, yeah, I think it definitely put women's wrestling on the map here in Georgia, but the problem being that it didn't continue in that federation. So I'll be honest with you, now what's putting women's wrestling in Georgia on the map is UIW, where they're the only ones with an actual women's division and a women's title belt. Every other promotion, they have their women's matches here. They have their women's matches there. They throw it on the card. There's like there's no story, you know, and it's not fair to us because we deserve to have a story and we deserve to actually be. There should be a women's match, I believe, on every single card. I'm not saying the whole show, but I mean people like variety and women's matches are good. So in my opinion, for all these wrestling indie shows to make it, they need to add variety, and they need to get with 2014. And, you know, and I mean, it's not in Alabama, but also GCW Wrestling, Pro Wrestling in Pell City, they have a women's division, which currently Tracy Taylor holds the women's title. So, you know, and I mean, SFCW, another promotion that I work for, I'm naming these because these are the promotions I work for on a constant basis. I'm on their regular roster. So, therefore, they have to be, they're doing something with women. You know, they're giving us the respect that we deserve, as well as LCW, LaGrange Championship Wrestling. If that wasn't a way to promote, I don't know what would have been.
Right. Now, we had Josh Wheeler on the show last week with Tito Escondido, and Josh had talked about the individual that you had mentioned, not by name, but
we talked
about it. It's a small world. We have a lot of people on the show. Josh is a good friend of ours, and we talked about it. And I actually watched a quote unquote match from this particular person, and I watched. It was very terrible, and it was more than apparent this particular person did not have any type of proper training. And what we had talked about was simply this, was is that I had commented on it and had said, if this particular person's dream is to become, that's the operative word, become a wrestler, then perhaps this person should look into going into a professional wrestling school to learn how to become a wrestler. Not to squash somebody's dreams,
right,
this, that, and the other, but, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But what you're doing right now is not wrestling.
It's not.
All you're doing right now is just embarrassing yourself and embarrassing the sport. That's what you're doing.
Yep.
So I agree with you 100%. I had watched some tape on you from UIW and another promotion, GACW, I believe. And the thing that stands out to me is your legitimate toughness in the ring. Now, with that being said, I'm going to play devil's advocate. What do you say to critics who believe women shouldn't wrestle men in singles competitions?
Again, I mean, let's look at WWE and what was one of the hottest times in WWE, and that's when Lita was with Team Extreme. That's when Trish was with TNA. That's when China was involved, and all this involved men in the ring with women. You know, so,
right.
I mean, I understand how promoters are skeptical about women being in the ring with men, but, you know, I've seen a lot more men in the ring with men that have dropped the ball, to be honest with you, than I have seen women in the ring with men to drop the ball. I mean, if you're trained, the bottom line is if you're trained as a wrestler, you're not trained as a woman wrestler or a man wrestler. You're trained as a wrestler. I trained with men. There was no women when I trained. The first couple of years I trained, at PCW, there were no men. I mean, excuse me, no women. So I trained with 15 guys. So I didn't know how to wrestle. To be honest with you, my scariest matches were with women when I started wrestling women, because I didn't know how to hold back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to any promoter that doesn't think women can get in the ring with men, I say watch the tape.
Right.
Watch the videos.
And I'm familiar with some of the names you talked about. Tracy Taylor, I've actually seen her wrestle in person. Jessie Bell, she's
yep.
been on the show, and she's legitimate. You know, legitimate tough ass. There's no other way to put it. You know, and she had, you know, a lot of old school training. You know, with Tracy Smothers, so on and so forth. So I'm familiar with what you're saying. And you had alluded to it a little bit earlier. One of the things that seems to be gaining momentum is mixed tag wrestling, aka Joey Ryan, Candice LeRae, recently won the PWG tag titles from the Young Bucks as a mixed team. And I know that you mentioned Josh's name a little bit, and I want you to tell us a little bit more. How did you and Josh come up with this concept of the Dream Team? And tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Well, to be honest with you, our tag team came about because, well, it started at UIW, and it started with me. I kept getting jumped by the usual suspects, AJ Steele and Murder One, who
mm-hmm.
are two guys twice my size, mind you. They put me through a table, and it started this major feud and major heat between us, and Josh is the one who stepped up and had my back, even though me and Josh together don't weigh one of them, but he still stepped up and had my back. So, and then as it went on, you added Corey Chavis, who's a member of the Blacklist, so
right.
Bobby Cannon stepped up, and then at the time, also Frankie Valentine. So we had quite a few in-agenda matches with them. And me and Josh just kind of complimented each other. He's like the male version of me, and I'm the female version of him. So
okay.
we complimented each other, and it just stuck.
Do you think that this is a passing fad in wrestling, or is this something that's really viable that ultimately promoters are going to get behind?
Oh, I definitely believe promoters are going to get behind it. Can't be a passing fad, because I mean to be honest with you. Mixed tag and in-agenda matches are my absolute favorite. Absolute
mm-hmm.
favorite. And I don't think it's a mix. I mean, because, again, I'm taking it back to Team Extreme. Well, that's been, 10 years ago? And
right.
I'm hoping now we're just getting back into it. That's what I'm hoping. And that it's going to blow up. That's what I
somehow,
want. And I want it to continue.
Right. So it's now something a little bit older can become new again? Everything's secular.
Right, exactly. And,
right.
Right. And SFCW, that Southern Pride Championship Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
they're actually promoting the Dream Team a lot. I want to definitely put that out there about them. That's basically the Dream Team's home.
If we can get you up out of Georgia, there are some promotions further up north that you'd like to work for that you haven't had an opportunity to work in or haven't had contact with. Is there promotion that you've seen that you'd like to work in?
I mean, I'm game to go anywhere, to be honest with you. Jump in the car yeah. and head out. So, you know, anywhere that's wanting to book it, I'm down to get in the car and go.
I hear you. Is there anybody that you've had your eye on that you've seen on YouTube or wherever that you thought, man, I'd like to have a go. I'd like to have a match with her. Is there or a mixed tag match? Is there anybody that stands out to you that you can think of?
I tell you what, a mixed tag match that I would absolutely love to have would be, and this is going to sound crazy, but it would be Amazing Kong and AJ Steele against me and Josh.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. I mean,
that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know why. Kind of sounds like a death sentence, but yeah, I would actually like that to happen. So,
Pandora, is this something that you would do? That this is doable? You and Josh, you'd really want to do a match like that?
Oh yeah, I really would. I mean, like I'm saying, I've been in the business on and off for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically, just now I'm having an intergender partner. So
right.
I've had female tag partners. I've been in the ring one-on-one or, like, six-man tag or eight-man tag, but, like, I would like to focus on the Dream Team in this intergender mixed tag matches. That's really what I'm looking forward to doing.
Okay. If fans want to check you out or check out you and Josh as the Dream Team, where are you guys going to be at coming up so fans can see you?
Let's see. The Dream Team will be at SFCW on October 11th.
Okay.
And we'll both be at UIW on September 6th. We won't be at Partners, but we'll be at UIW. I'll have my belt up. I'll be putting my belt up against Tasha Simone, actually, NWA, former NWA Women's Champ.
Okay. Now, I know that you're not on Twitter, and we recently had an issue with Facebook. Do you want to give people your social media information?
Sure, yes. Anybody that was friends with Pandora, I had 2,700 friends and thousands of pictures, which were all deactivated by Facebook because apparently somebody reported Pandora's page as fraud. So anybody out there that doesn't have a valid ID for their page, be careful. So, yes, they kept it. They won't even let me access it anymore. So I've had to resort to my personal page, which is Tara Young, and then I have a Pandora fan page, and then there's a Dream Team fan page.
Okay. And we'll put those links up on our website tonight as well with your permission. And last thing, if we could, we always get all of our guests that we come on, we ask them to record a little bump for us, something like, this is Pandora, and you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show. We'd really appreciate it.
Sure.
You can go whenever you're ready.
Whenever
you're ready.
This is Pandora. Okay. This is Pandora, and this is Live from the Armory Wrestling Show.
Pandora, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Awesome.
I really appreciate it. We had a really good time with you.
Yes. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you letting me get everything out there.
Not a problem. You have a good night, okay?
Okay, you guys too. Bye.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Pandora. Thank you.
All right. And there she goes, folks. There goes Pandora. Really cool to talk to her.
Very cool. And I really like the fact that she's like, I don't, because I said, you know, something about getting her a Joker, and she's like, nah, I don't need him.
Yeah. And you see,
yeah,
folks, how such a small world it can be. You know, she talks about Josh
mm-hmm.
Wheeler. We had Josh Wheeler on the show a week before, and, you know, it's, that's the kind of world that we live in. The world of indie wrestling seems to be really big, but everybody knows everybody, you know. So very cool to have her on.
Yeah.
Very cool to have her on. If you don't know anything about her, you can type in Google, type in YouTube, go check out Pandora. Sometimes it comes up Pandora Wrestler. You see a lot of videos from UIW. I watched a cage match with her versus Mickey Knuckles. Very cool lady. I'm really glad we had her on. I like the fact that, you know, she brought up something, you know, because a lot of times, folks, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, getting a little older, things slip past me. You know, the intergender stuff has been around for a while. You know, it's just, you know, how everything comes back around secular. You know, she brought that up,
mm-hmm.
so I thank her for reminding me about that. So, you want to run down some indie events while I sit here and cough and get another cough drop?
Sure, and make sure you get some Colleen. We've got Pro Wrestling Guerrilla presents the Battle of Los Angeles. 3 nights, 24 competitors. It's happening August 29th, 30th, and 31st. All events held at the American Legion Post 308 in Reseda, California. Friday night and Saturday night, 8 p.m. bell. Sunday has a 5 p.m. bell time. Some of the competitors scheduled to appear: Chris Hero, Chris Sabin, Adam Cole, Candice LeRae,
Baby.
Trevor Lee, who is a North Carolina staple, AJ Styles, our good friend Cedric Alexander, Kyle O'Reilly, ACH, and many, many more. For more information, just visit www.prowrestlinggorilla.com. NWA Smoky Mountain is having a show on August 29th with an 8 p.m. bell time. Smoky Mountain and Pro Wrestling South collide in a fundraiser for Sullivan Central High School Athletic Program. See, folks, indie wrestling, it gives back. See?
Yep.
This is going to be held at the Sullivan Central High School in Wattville, Tennessee. Scheduled to appear, Axton Ray, the Southern Psycho, Elliot Russell. If you've never seen him, yeah, he lives up to that name. Air America, Dan Mulligan, Nick Hammonds, and many more. Just visit NWASmokyMountain.com, and again, that's Smoky without the E. You want to talk about the CWZ show or CZW?
The CZW show, yeah. I want to do that, and I want to throw something real quick out. Folks that are interested in PWX's next show, Us Versus the World, the event page is on Facebook, and the tickets are live for that event now. So if you need to buy tickets for PWX's upcoming event, Us Versus the World, you can certainly do that. What I wanted to say about CZW, I don't watch a lot of CZW. We don't cover a lot of CZW for various reasons. We talk about it a little bit when something interesting happens. I'm a real big fan of Drew Gulak. I like him a lot. There are some cool things that go on in CZW, other stuff I can do without, because that's just me. That's just my opinion. They had a show over this past weekend. I was on social media, and I saw several tweets from several different people just complaining. And these are folks that are CZW fans, complaining about the show, the stream, the booking, the matches, who was on the card, who wasn't on the card, why people were there when they weren't wrestling, people that weren't wrestling that should have been wrestling, other people that were wrestling that shouldn't have been wrestling. And basically the overall feel that I got from it was that, you know, the show went downhill from the time that it started. Now, I'm not here to run CZW in the ground. I'm just telling you, I'm just putting the information out there from what I read. Everybody's a critic, including myself. I can be critical at times. But here's the thing that I want to point out. I want to predicate that. 90% of the time, I hear nothing but positive feedback about CZW shows, including the bloodbath that is Tournament of Death and the insanity that goes on at the Cage of Death. I get all that, okay? Here's something I'm going to throw out, and I'm going to let you think about this for a minute, okay? A lot of people that go to CZW will never get over with CZW fans unless they're involved with Tournament of Death or Cage of Death, period. I don't care how talented you are. If you're not in those two tournaments, a lot of times the fans that are there could give two shits less about what you're doing there. I'm just going to say it.
It's very niche-y.
Yeah.
You know, it's their niche, and if you're not in it, yeah.
They are very, very adult-oriented as far as pushing the envelope way beyond what anything that I've seen, way beyond what ECW did. If you think that I'm lying or think that it's a joke, just go on YouTube and spend 3 weeks watching nothing but CZW videos, and then you tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Exactly, and you won't be able to.
That's just my opinion. You know, that's why I don't cover a lot of CZW, because there are some decent guys that are there that will continue to bust their ass but will not get anywhere with the CZW fans because they don't enter those two contests. There are two biggest draws of the year, Tournament of Death and Cage of Death. If you're not willing to endure that, then you might as well just be standing there helping to sell the popcorn. That's all. So
that's what you know, right?
That's what I know. Now I'm done with my rant. I'll probably get a crap load of mail over this.
Yeah,
I'll probably,
shitstorm. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. It's not anything new. I tell the truth.
People don't like it because I tell the truth. Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for the truth.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, we're truthful.
Speaking of the truth,
here, so.
Speaking of the truth, move on. I know that you had, excuse me, something from Zane Riley and former show guest Terry Effin Houston, speaking of death matches and tournaments and all that other good stuff?
basically, what's happened is Terry Houston put his milestone championship, his Smash Mouth championship on the line last Saturday night against Zane Riley. And the chaos and pandemonium that ensued, from what I've seen from pictures and from the video, was historic. Zane had a wheelbarrow. They drank beer together. I think Zane had to fight off the Burke County boys. He poured an ice chest over Terry's head and was like, now that's an ice bucket challenge. Tried to cannonball Terry in while he was sitting in the wheelbarrow, but unfortunately that did not work for Mr. Riley. So Terry Houston walks out the Smash Mouth champion, and I really hate that I could not go. I so wanted to see that match. Anytime you have Terry Houston in a match, in a hardcore match, it's always epic, legendary, you know. But, yeah, absolutely awesome. Once again, Terry Houston, still your Smash Mouth championship. Milestone's having another show here pretty soon. We'll start covering that next week for them, because we love our friends at Milestone Wrestling. And there's some other great matches on that card as well. But the one I think that stood out was probably the Terry and Zane. I don't even know how to describe it from the pictures. Did you see any of the pictures?
I did see a picture of Zane standing over Terry with a bowling ball. I did see that.
Yes.
And I believe I know what happened with said bowling ball, and I'll have to. That reminds me. I got to message Terry and make sure that all of his pins are still intact.
Yeah, that's
a bowling
nice way to
pins.
Play.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So. What?
Yeah. I wasn't saying anything. I was just saying. real quick, I want to cover this because, you know, Bob and I, we're tastemakers. We're you know, movement starters, and we kind of help people along. And we just like to say that, you know, we put the Zane and Caleb put over the movie Kickstarter. Yeah, we put them over $900. Yeah, we did that. We did. What do you mean we?
Yeah, what do you mean we? You got a mouse in your pocket? Don't get me fired up. I don't feel good. I don't feel good.
I put money in there, too.
Listen to me, girly, okay?
I put money in there, too. Yes, I did.
I have got a huge bone to pick with one Caleb Conley over this whole shebang. But I'll laugh last. You know why? Because I'll get my name on that movie credit for what I donated. You know, I go on and send out a friendly message saying, you know, here, look what I did. I helped put over your movie, you know, donate some money, and I get a tweet back that says, suck it, Bob. What kind of crap is that? What kind of crap is that? Is that the way you treat your, you know, the executive producer, which I should be getting the executive producer credit? That's how you treat the people that donate to this fund? What kind of nonsense is that? I support people that support me. Whatever.
Yeah, but you have been supporting him all this time. You just hopped on the Conley bandwagon like a month or two ago.
I've made Caleb Conley better. I've helped him step his game up, and he knows it, and I know it. You can continue on with all your praise and accolades of them two goofballs while I get this other guest on the phone.
Okay, well... You can go to Kickstarter.com, or you can go to Caleb or Zane's Facebook page and find the link to it'll take you directly to it. And as of a couple hours ago, I checked, they're up to $942. So if you'd like to see not only Zane and Caleb in Bumblebee and Butterfly costumes, respectively, if you'd like to see them in a chase, you certainly can. If you guys can get them up to $1,000, which $942, you know, that's $58. Somebody out there has got $58 in their couch, I'm sure. So, like I said, go to Kickstarter.com, search Put Over the Movie or Zane and Caleb, and I'm sure all that will come up. And, you know, donate something. There's all kinds of cool stuff you get in return. So just you know, do what you can. I'd love to see a chase scene. I know you guys would, too. And here's Coffee McCofferson back, I'm sure, with a guest.
Yes, I'm back. I'm back. I had to get another cough drop and try to calm down. So you're getting me all worked up. I can't do that when I'm sick. I get all worked up, and I have to learn how to calm.
You got worked up over nothing.
What?
What do you mean
I get worked
up
over nothing? I did not get worked up over anything. I expected when I donated that money to them too. There was a thing in there that said I would get a personalized thank you tweet. What kind of thank you tweet is suck it, Bob? That's not a thank you tweet. So I don't want to hear it, Laura. Quit defending them too. Quit defending them. Sit there and donate my hard-earned money to them too, the Martin and Lewis of the modern era. What a load of crap. At any rate, folks, joining us right now, pro wrestler Joey Image is on the phone with us, and Laura knows more about Joey than what I do, but we're going to give this the best go I can under the influence of cold medicine. And joining us as promised, as booked, as billed, is Joey Image. Joey, thank you for joining us tonight. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. Man, cold medicine's good stuff, man. Just don't OD on that Robitussin, man.
Some
of that's bad news. But it's legal, man, so, you know.
Yeah, bottoms up. You know, I want to apologize right up front. I am feeling a little under the weather, so if I cough or if I sneeze during the middle of a question, I have to apologize in advance. With us on the other end is Laura. Laura, you want to say hey to Joey?
Hey, Joey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm doing really well. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Oh, I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah.
Joey, want to thank you for taking the time out to be with us tonight. I saw on your Twitter that you recently went to a Biohazard show. How was the show?
I did. It was awesome. It was last Thursday night in New York City, and
okay.
It was awesome. I recently I'm a friend of Evan Seinfeld, who was one of the founders of a band back in '87, who left the band in 2011. But I recently struck up a friendship with Billy, who is now the lead singer and guitar player, who's also one of the co-founders with Evan. So he and I became friendly recently, and I had heard about the show, I don't know, Monday or whatever, and sent him a tweet saying, hey, man, I'm coming down, you know, let's get a picture together. He said, absolutely. So we went down, my girlfriend and I and a couple of friends of mine that I met there, and we hung out and watched the show and then hung out with Billy afterwards. It was awesome. It was a real good time.
Cool time. I know that you'll dig this. A long, long time ago, I saw Biohazard, Testament, and Megadeth at the Newport Music Hall in Columbus, Ohio, one of the best shows that I went to.
That is a tremendous bill.
Yeah, that was completely awesome.
I've seen all three bands, but never together. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that was a good time. Take us back in time, if you will. What was your first experience with wrestling, Joey?
As far as watching it or being a participant?
Watching it, just watching it. What was your first experience?
God, I was probably 3 years old or 4 years old. My brother was a big wrestling fan growing up. He had a ton of magazines, and I guess what he would do when he was done reading them is he would cut out the pictures and, like, paste them into this loose-leaf notebook he had and, like, make his own magazines and, like, make up, like, his own captions and stuff. It was really wacky stuff. I didn't know what it was then, but as I got older, I thought it was hilarious. But he kind of got me into watching it because he would always watch it in the house. So, the earliest stuff I remember watching is just old, like, Junkyard Dog stuff. And, like, my brother had a lot of was a big fan of NWA. So we watched, and I've always lived in New Jersey, so we got all the TV channels from the New York market as well. And New York carried, New York carried everything. I mean, they carried, Florida. We had Texas. We had, Georgia Championship Wrestling. So, I mean, I have VHS tapes still to this day of Georgia Championship Wrestling from, like, 1981, recorded off the TV, off a Superstation. Superstation
awesome.
TBS back when Ted Turner. Yeah, I have some really, really old stuff that I would love to get transferred to DVD or my PC or something. But yeah, that's pretty much my first exposure was through my brother and watching old school, just really, really old school stuff on TV.
It's hard to explain to somebody when you're younger like that, because I remember cutting out pictures out of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you know, and I think in my locker at school I had a picture of, like, Iron Maiden and a picture of Ric Flair. You know, it's hard to explain that kind of stuff, but, you know, that's what wrestling does to you.
It's funny that you say that you did that, because I don't know anyone else that did that besides my brother. No,
I did that. Absolutely.
Oh,
I
never did it because
them on my wall at home.
I never did that because I wanted to preserve the magazines. I didn't ever want to cut them up or anything. I wanted to keep them. And, I mean, I still have a ton of really old magazines. And, you know, I never wanted to cut nothing out of them. I wanted to keep them as pristine condition as I could.
I understand. What was training like for you, Joey, and memories of some of your first matches?
Training was hell. It was hell, but it was awesome. I mean, it was 4 to 5 nights a week. It was Monday. I think we had Tuesdays off. It was Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then it was Saturday and Sunday during the day, but it was only like 12 noon to 2 or 3 o'clock on the weekend, so it wasn't really that bad. During the week was usually 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., so we were training anywhere. I trained at Camp IWF in New Jersey in what's now called Woodland Park with mm-hmm. West Patterson at the time. But we were training anywhere from 4 to 6 days a week, depending on scheduling. I live 20 minutes from where that building is, so I was there every night. So I was doing usually 5 or 6 nights of training. And then, like I said, we did Saturday and Sundays during the day. And then when we had events, events were on Saturdays, so we would still have training until 2 or 3 p.m., and then we would get ready for our shows, which were usually at 6 or 7 p.m. And some weekends we would do a show on Saturday and Sunday, so it was the same thing. We would do training from 12 to 2 or 3, and then the show would be at 6 or 7.
Okay, very cool. Folks, we're on the line with Joey Image. Studio number is 213-816-1605. I know that Laura had some questions for you, Joey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Joey, you and I go back a bit. I first met you on Twitter, and I started following you, and I believe you started following me when you found out I was a fellow monkey junkie. And I was just wanting to know, who's your favorite monkey, and what's your favorite monkey song?
Oh, my God, this is a weird – I've never been asked this question before. My favorite monkey song, I don't – Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know. Well, it's a toss-up between that and Sometime in the Morning.
I gotta go
Pleasant Valley Sunday. And Mickey Dolenz is my favorite monkey.
Mickey's my favorite monkey, too.
Yeah, I can tell you why he's my favorite monkey, and this makes no sense to me, but he was on an episode of Mike Hammer, like, 4,000 years ago when I was, like, 8 or 9. I don't know why I remember that. And I don't even know if anyone else knows what the hell Mike Hammer is. Like, that show hasn't been on the air. I remember
watching Mike Hammer.
Was that the show with Stacey Keach?
Yeah.
Was that the show with
Stacey
Keach?
Yes, and he had a mustache. That was my show.
God.
Oh, that's amazing. I don't feel like as much of a loser now. Yeah, but Mickey Dolenz did a guest spot on that show, and I don't know. I liked him ever since then. I don't know why. But he's always my favorite, and Pleasant Valley Sunday is probably my favorite monkey song.
I think Laura's tweeting.
Uh-oh. Did we lose her?
Uh-oh. We may have lost her. Hold on a second.
Yep.
No, we did. Hold on. Don't ask me what happened. I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't either. I was just talking. I was like, hello.
There you go. Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yep, I love Blog Talk. But go ahead, Joey.
I already told you. Mickey Dolenz, and I got to say Pleasant Valley Sunday. Sometime in the Morning is a very close number, too.
Yes, that one is such a great one. You know, you helped me make friends with the Bravados because I was very shy about going up and talking to Lance Bravado at a show, and I had put on Facebook.
I remember this.
And you were like,
I said, hello.
And I said, hey, you know Joey Image? and he just got this big grin on his face, and he didn't say a word. He just, I mean, he was like grinning from ear to ear. So how did you meet them, and do you have any idea what that grin meant?
I guess that was just the icebreaker. I don't know. I guess that was his way of saying yes. I met those guys in Atlantic City in like 2011. When I had a live show, there was a guy on it that did a well, we had a whole network of shows, really. We were doing shows every night of the week. And the Thursday night show was an MMA show. So in September of 2011, there was a big MMA convention in Atlantic City. Well, I shouldn't say MMA. I should say it was just basically combat arts. I mean, there was guys doing Taekwondo. There was a Kung Fu tournament. There was MMA stuff. Anything you can think of, really. And ROH had a table there. There was a whole bunch of guys doing autographs as well as tournaments and exhibitions and stuff like that. In fact, Dan Severn was there that weekend as well.
Oh, wow.
And the Bravados had a table there representing Ring of Honor. And we had talked before on Twitter, and I think they were on one of our, maybe our Wednesday night show was the interview show. So they may have been on that as well, if I remember correctly. And I just went up and introduced myself, took a whole bunch of pictures together, and I've been kind of buddies with those guys ever since. They're really good dudes.
They certainly are. They've always been absolutely wonderful to me, and I can see that with other fans too. That they're just really down to earth kind of guys. They're just like, wow, we've made it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had
forgotten all about that until you just brought it up. That yeah, I remember seeing you post about that, and I was like, hey, tell them I said hello. And, you know, I figured in my head that would kind of be the icebreaker, and I guess it worked out.
It certainly was, and I do appreciate that, because the thing was that show, nobody was coming up to them. I'm like, well, is there a reason why nobody's coming up to them, you know? Because you kind of wonder if the meet and greet, nobody's meeting and greeting, what's going on. And I would like to say that I've seen on Facebook that you recently started seeing someone, and you look the happiest I've ever seen you. Congratulations.
Oh, I did. She's here right now, actually. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And your nicknames are your Italian hero, right?
Yes.
And I believe the Bump and Feed Machine. So tell me where those came from.
Well, Bump and Feed Machine is not really a nickname. That's just kind of that kind of just essentially describes a wrestler. The Italian
right.
hero thing is just because I'm Italian and I'm everyone's hero, apparently. It's kind of a play on words because I like to eat. So, yeah.
Well, what's your favorite food?
Chicken parm.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Although I was told by my doctor today that I need to lose 20 or 30 pounds, so there's probably no chicken parm anywhere in my immediate future. But I'll get back to it eventually.
Well, you know, you can lighten that dish up.
Oh, it does smell fun. I mean, you need the full fat version, otherwise it's not as good.
It's not worth it, right?
Exactly.
Well,
there's no way to cheat
on
chicken parm. There's no way to cheat on chicken parm. It's in there. It's got to be in there.
Yeah, I mean, especially when I once in a while I'll steal some that my mother makes, and it's like I can't, you know, my mother's obviously Italian, and I can't, like, I feel bad if I don't eat her chicken parm, so, you know, I'm kind
of stuck
there.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah. I mean, Italian mom making chicken parm, yeah, I would definitely
eat
like, what diet?
Right.
Well, I know you've been going to some wrestling shows. Is it hard to be a spectator at wrestling shows when you've been in the ring?
Oh, God, yes. It sucks. I mean, I shouldn't say it sucks. It's much less fun. Like, doing the stuff in Pennsylvania that I do is good because I'm still active. Like, I work for Grand Slam Wrestling right now since I've been injured, which is actually the company that I got injured in. But I'm kind of helping them out, like, staff-wise. You know, if they need advertising or any kind of like promoting or just talent scouting, whatever they need, you know, helping with booking or storylines or whatever, I'm trying to help as much as I can, as well as doing play-by-play. So
oh, nice.
That's really the only those are really the only shows I've been going to, other than, like, occasionally I'll get, I have friends that work for WWE, so occasionally I'll get, like, a pair of free tickets there, and I'll hit, like, because, I mean, like I said, I live in Jersey, so I hit, like, the Meadowlands, or the Izod Center, or whatever it is now. I'm still used to calling it the Meadowlands. I'll go to Madison Square Garden or like the Prudential Center in Newark if I happen to come across a free pair of tickets. But generally, I'm really only going to Grand Slam wrestling shows. I really haven't been to another independent company in quite a while. I shouldn't say it sucks. It's just tough watching when I'm so used to being in there and, like, you know, something happens or if I see something going on, like, I just want to get involved. You know, if I see a match happening, I just want to get involved, and I want to tag in and do my spots, but you know, I can't, and it's tough right now since I've been hurt.
Well, let's talk about your injury. What have the doctors told you as far as returning to wrestling?
It's not looking good. I don't really have a full assessment yet, I guess. There's still possible surgery in my future. I'm not sure yet. I just had spinal surgery at the end of April, and there's possible neck surgery coming up. I'm not sure about that yet. I'll see my doctor a couple weeks and find out what's going on. I don't know if he wants to do another X-ray. I think he mentioned that after my last surgery, but yeah. So as of right now, even if I am able to return, it probably wouldn't be until after the new year. Which by January, my last match thus far was January 12th, 2013. So after the new year, I will have been then on the injured list for 2 years, which is a very, very long time.
Right, right. In the scope of wrestling, yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm still able to take part, you know, doing play-by-play and the kind of the promoting thing. But really, that's kind of not what I signed up for when I got started. And, you know, since I'm 6 years old, this is all I wanted to do. And, I mean, if my doctor tells me I'm done, then I'm done. I got to do it for 14 years, you know. And if I can go on, I'll continue. But I won't know for a little while still. I'm obviously hoping for the worst, but, I mean, hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst.
And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about, Joey, and what we had talked about, Laura and I had before, and, you know, we've talked to a lot of different wrestlers and a lot of different people within wrestling. I mean, we've had, obviously, wrestlers on the show, promoters, referees, managers, ring photographers, pretty much everybody. And, you know, what we wanted to do was get a hold of somebody, you know, because and we'll get into this in the questions, but, you know, having that type of injury where you have to sit out with the death of kayfabe, we realized that the violence was scripted, but the results of the violence obviously can be very real. Can you tell our listeners what type of injuries that you've occurred or had suffered from in the ring?
Yeah, actually, I know there's millions of wrestling fans that have never heard of me. So to give them kind of a frame of reference, I have the same neck injury that Edge had that forced him to retire the day after his MRIs or the day after WrestleMania. I have the same neck injury he does. So the only reason why I'm not already done is because I want to come back. The thing with him was if he had the neck surgery, he would have been able to come back. Maybe not last very long, but he would have been able to come back. But he had done an interview, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks before WrestleMania, saying that, you know, saying he thinks maybe he's only got about another year and a half in him. So he was already planning on retiring within the next year, the following year anyway. So I'm thinking that's why he didn't have the neck surgery, because, you know, why have it if you're going to stop wrestling anyway? But my deal is I want to come back. Like, I don't want this to be the end. Like, I don't want to go out not on my own terms. So if I can get surgery or if I can do whatever I can do to lengthen my wrestling career, then that's what I'm going to do. But as far as injuries, yeah, so I've got the Edge neck thing, and I've got I had three bad discs in my lower back that were bulging, herniated, and compressed. So I had to have spinal surgery for that. It's a spinal stenosis is what I had, but it was the surgery was called a laminectomy, discectomy, something or other. Some kind of thing that sounds like it's Japanese or something.
Right.
I can barely pronounce it. But essentially, they remove the discs, they clean them up, and then they put the disc back in place. It's about an hour surgery. My surgery took 3.5 hours, and the problem was the one disc couldn't be cleaned up enough, so they had to take it out. So they took it out and they replaced it with a chunk of bone, and then the disc below that they were able to clean up and salvage. So, I mean, ever since the surgery, I've been 99% pain free. I mean, it really saved my life, and once I woke up in recovery after the surgery, I instantly felt, you know, that things were a lot better. I mean, it's still difficult, you know, once in a while, like if I need to stand up and sit down or change positions, you know, often that's kind of tough. But you know, it's not really too. I'm not on a cane anymore. That's one good thing. I was walking with a cane for about 11 weeks. Before I had the surgery, because I just couldn't move. So, and I mean, not only was I walking on it, but I had to lift myself up using it. Like, I had to push up off the floor or off of whatever I was sitting on using the cane to stand up. And they got really bad for a while. So, but once I had the surgery, I haven't used the cane since. I don't even know where the cane is, actually, now that I think about it. I've been 99% pain-free. I feel a lot better. I'm starting to resume doing DDP yoga once again. My doctor told me not to do anything, you know, don't do anything physical. He said don't even work out, anything that's going to injure the discs again or re-injure or aggravate the discs, anything like that. So when I see him again, I was told not to do anything like that until I see him again. So I'm doing like very, very light DDP yoga. I'm not even doing the full 20-minute workouts. I'm doing like half. And I'm doing like half repetition, stuff like that. And I'm trying to just keep it as simple as possible. I mean, I don't want to, not even talk from wrestling. I just don't want to, you know, screw up my life. Like, I mean, the real reason why I can't wrestle is because I can't bump. Risking paralysis because of the discs in my neck. So if I don't want to be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, then I have to stop bumping and stuff like that, at least until after I have surgery, if it's that bad. So, like I said, I mean, not even, you know, wrestling aside, this is more than a wrestling thing. It's more of a life issue.
Yeah, quality of life issue. I want to get back to the pain thing here in just a second. When you're sitting across from a doctor and you're looking at x-rays and he's got, you know, the x-rays up or MRIs, and he's telling you that it's not possible or it's against better judgment to wrestle, what's that feeling like? What are those thoughts that are going through your mind?
It's like telling a 5-year-old he can't have ice cream ever again.
Right.
It all works back to food somehow, especially sweet.
I hear
but
you.
Yeah, I mean,
I smell pizza.
Yeah, oh, God. But, yeah, so it's like telling that doctor, hey, I'm going to revoke your medical license and you're done for good. You know, it's how would he feel? And by no fault of his own is that happening. That's basically the same thing. I mean, I understand this is technically my fault, but, you know, it's essentially like that. It's heartbreaking and it's very, the first time he told me that it's not likely that I'll be back, but, you know, don't take that as a definite no yet. I've never felt more defeated in my life. You know, it's very, very, it's a hard pill to swallow.
Now, you're sitting there and you get done with him. What is the decision-making process of trying to convince yourself that it's still possible to wrestle against a doctor's opinion, or better yet, going back to the pain thing, trying to continue to wrestle hurt? Because we hear the stories all the time. You know, you got guys that are legitimately hurt. We're not talking about, you know, bruises, whatever. You know, but taping up, you know, they got a pill bottle in their bag, you know. And you know what I'm talking about. We're all adults here. You know, they're wrestling underneath prescription pain medication, you know. You got a guy, we'll throw one out, Wes Welker, just incurred his third concussion within a year. You know, you know, and he's still, you know, still debating about whether or not he should want to, you know, should play football. What is what is that process? How does the mind work on that, Joey? Is it a trick of the mind, or is it true passion? What is it?
Well, I'll tell you this. I first got hurt in November of 2012, and I still wrestled every Saturday and Sunday after that until January of 2013 with my neck broke. So, I mean, I was only able to do that because of passion and heart. I mean, it got to the point, when I stopped, it got to the point where I just couldn't take the pain anymore. So I really didn't have I felt like I didn't have a choice. Like I had to, because I hadn't even been looked at. I just knew something was seriously wrong. And I don't really know what happened. My doctor thinks it may have been wear and tear. And when I felt it, that just was, it's time to go, or I guess my neck. So, but when I had a match on November 10th, 2012, again for Grand Slam Wrestling, and then I woke up November 11th and I couldn't move my head. I couldn't turn my neck, and I couldn't lift my head. So I knew that something was really, really wrong.
Right.
Wow.
You know, but you mentioned pills. I have bottles of pills here now, just from the surgeries, and I haven't even taken them in months because I haven't felt, like I said, I feel 99% pain free, so I really haven't needed anything. But those first couple of weeks, or those first 2 months, I was taking, you know, I mean, I'm not ashamed to say I was taking pills every day. I mean, I take, you know, pills to get to sleep. Then once I woke up, I would take something to get me through the day. The only time I wouldn't take pills or wasn't taking anything was before matches on show days. So on Saturdays, I would either work Saturdays or Sundays, or if there was a show Friday night, I would do Friday night and Saturday night. But I was doing two shows a week when my neck hurt. So I would take pills every day except for show days. And if I did, it was after the match or after the event. I can't go in there, you know, not with a clear mind. I mean, if I get hurt out there, I get hurt out there. It's fine. But there's no way I've never gone to the ring not sober, not 100% sober. Because, you know, I realize it's more than just me getting hurt. I could hurt somebody else.
Right. And that seems to be one of the prevalent things about, you know, we talk about guys that are working hurt, and I know that you've had to have seen this in your career. You know, did you, you know, about guys, you know, pilling up before a match or whatever to get through one more match?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, here you are, you end up hurt. You know, did you ever see any kind of comparison, or did you sit there and say, man, I'm not going to have to go through that. I don't want to have to go through that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen guys pill up before matches to get through. I've seen guys shoot up before matches to get through. And I always thought, like, you know what? Like, I'm careful. I know what I'm doing. I'm careful in the ring. I'm not sloppy or whatever. I know what I'm, you know, I know what I'm doing. I know how to take care of myself. I know how to protect myself. I'm going to be fine. I'm never going to need any of that junk. And then once my neck got hurt, the first thing I was looking for was pain pills. And, you know, I had a previous surgery on my knee. About a year and a half before I hurt my neck, so on my left knee. So when I had the neck, when I woke up with the neck issues in November, I still had pills left from the knee that I never finished. So I would take those until I went, you know, I took those until January when I went and got looked at, and I was told how actually serious my neck injury was. So, I always thought, you know, I'm never going to need anything because I'm good to go, I'm fine, and then. Once it happens, you realize that I say a lot that I'm bulletproof, but you realize once something happens that you're not, and it's pretty scary.
Right. I don't want this to be like a bummer question because, you know, we build the show as a before, during, and after, but in the off chance that you are not able to wrestle again, what is the one thing that you will take away from having been in wrestling that you value the most?
Friendships, man. I've met so many cool people. Actually, I'll say friendships and I don't know, achievements or accomplishments, I guess. There's a lot of cool stuff that I've done or that's been done for me because of wrestling that never would have happened to me. And I'm not even famous. I mean, I'm not even like, you know, like a big WWE guy. Like, I'm just some guy from Jersey who just wants to wear spandex and, you know, in public and beat people up.
Eat chicken parm.
But, yeah, I've met so many cool people that, I mean, I've met people that are not even in wrestling anymore that I'm still pretty close friends with. And as far as, like, accomplishments, man, there's a lot of stuff that's been done to me and for me that wouldn't have happened if I wasn't in wrestling. Like, I made a comic book. This guy, Dean Stahl, who does a wrestling comic called Headlocks and Headaches. I'm in his book. What else? I've been in a video game, computer game. I did an autograph session at Comic-Con 2 years ago, 2012. Like, mm-hmm. me, I'm just some kid from New Jersey. People came to Comic-Con, and I sold out of DVDs and T-shirts. It's like that blows my mind, you know, because I go
That's
home
awesome.
And, like,
mm-hmm.
it was awesome. And I go home, and I'm like, I'm just Joe from Jersey. But, you know, but I go, in fact, I still have, like, my name tag and, like, the table set up and everything. From Comic-Con. It was Baltimore Comic-Con, and I think it was November, maybe, or September of 2012. Yeah, it was September. It was shortly before I got hurt, actually. And, yeah, it was so cool, man. I mean, I had a room. I had, you know, the full table set up. I was there, sat. I was seated next to Dean, the guy who did the comic with me in it. And it was just cool. I sold a bunch of stuff. I met a whole bunch of people. Took a ton of pictures. It's a lot of fun. So, like stuff like that, I would never have been involved in if it wasn't for wrestling.
Now we have a lot of listeners that tune into this show, and some of them are young wrestlers or wrestlers coming up in the business, and this always stuck in the back of my mind. I always heard, you know, Jim Ross always talking about when he was scouting young talent. I always told him, you know, be mentally tough. Be prepared and have a backup plan.
Yeah,
you know, because wrestling doesn't always pan out. You know, for whatever reason, whether it may be an injury or you don't have a look, or you get in there and, you know, do a face plant your first match out, and they're like, "Yeah, forget it." You know, what would you say to that? What's Joey's backup plan? What would you suggest to people?
I would say the exact same thing. Always have an education first. Something to fall back on, because again, like you said, if this doesn't pan out, I mean, how do you know you're not going to go in there and get, you know, pile driven in your first match and you break your neck and now you can't do anything, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's very difficult to, it is cutthroat, but that's not the word I'm looking for, but it's very, very difficult to make a name for yourself and to even get known. I mean, so, yeah, having a backup plan or having a something to fall back on, even I don't have a college degree, but having a college degree is a good idea, or knowing some other kind of trade, just in case. And even if wrestling does pan out, I mean, there's guys that do things on the side that are at the top of the business. I mean, look at Kane, for example. Kane's on the top of the world right now, you know, very, very well known for a million years now in WWE, and he sells insurance on the side, you know. Like,
right.
He's got a real job. He's got a real job. I mean, you know, stuff like that is like, you know, sometimes it's a little bit mind-blowing where you realize, like, this guy is just a regular dude who just happens to have a really cool job. And then on the side, he's doing something else that's kind of cool, you know? So
right.
There's always got to be something there. I mean, it's sad seeing so many guys that are like Randy the Ram from a wrestler that don't know anything else and you know, don't have a backup plan. And they're still, you know, in their 50s and 60s, they're still doing, like, independent shows for $200 a shot just to buy food and gas for the week, you know, because they don't know anything else, or they don't have anything, you know, they don't have anything to fall back on. They have nothing to do besides that. It's sad seeing stuff like that. I mean, you got to make a living. You got to feed your family somehow. So
right.
You got bills to pay. So I understand that, but it's just sometimes it's sad seeing guys that have so much money, all the money in the world, and then, you know, now they have nothing to show for it.
Do you find yourself comfortable in doing what you're doing now with either maybe perhaps doing some managing work for talent or doing, you know, scouting? Will that suffice for you, Joey, or are you really wanting to get back full going?
I would love to get back in the ring full bore, man. I mean, if I can't, I'm cool with what I'm doing right now. The play-by-play thing is a lot of fun because I know there's a lot of, misconceptions about WWE, that the commentators are all scripted and stuff like that. And I know the commentary team is not scripted in WWE, but I know they have, you know, kind of notes that they're supposed to hit, and I know they have people yelling at them through headsets if they don't hit their points or hit their time cues or whatever, but I don't have any of that. I just have me and a live mic and a co-host, and it's terrific. And so we at Grand Slam Wrestling, we have we have three different commentary teams. So we switch off. It's not the same two guys the whole show. So when you're watching our YouTube TV, you're not getting the same two guys for every match. So we like to switch and mix and match like that. It makes it more interesting, I think. But I would love to get back in, but if I can't, I'm okay with what I'm doing right now. It keeps me around and it makes me still feel useful. Whereas as soon as I got hurt and as soon as I had to stop, I felt like, now I'm not useful to anybody. And after that match in January, my last match so far, at least for now, and I had to call a bunch of promoters. In 2012, I was supposed to debut for six more companies that summer, and I had to call all those promoters and tell them that I'm done and I can't do anything right now until I don't know when. And that was probably one of the hardest or six of the hardest phone calls I had to make. You know, I mean, it's rough when it's not on your own terms. When you're not going out on your own terms, it's really rough. But if I'm definitely done and I can't, then yeah, I'm pretty much, I'm okay with what I'm doing now. It keeps me around the business. It keeps my name still out there. And, if I can't go anymore, then I'm proud to step aside and, you know, let some new guys kind of get the spotlight. I mean, not that I'm in, you know, any kind of spotlight or whatever, but that's a, you know, I was around for 14 years if I'm done. I mean, that's, you know, that's a spot that's now open. You know, I mean, not that I'm some big superstar, but that's still a spot.
We're certainly pulling for you in whatever capacity that you end up. I mean,
sure are.
Straight up guy, class act, in our opinion. Whether you're actively wrestling or if you're doing commentating or you're, you know, doing work behind the scenes, whatever it is, we know that Joey Image will be, you know, a game all the way at it. So, you know, we're pulling for you either way. Could you let us know?
Sir.
Oh, that's no problem. Could you let us know and let the fans know where you might be at coming up, where they can come up to you and say hey and all that other good stuff?
Well, right now the only thing I've got scheduled is September 27th in Moosic, Pennsylvania, is the next Grand Slam Wrestling event at the Moosic Youth Center. And if you go to, I don't even know if it's updated, but gswrestling.com, or actually if you go to Twitter, it's just at gswrestling. You can find all the info on there. And the Facebook page, actually. It's Facebook Wrestling. Facebook. Facebook.com/Grand Slam Wrestling PA. That's the best place to go for all the info because that Facebook page is constantly updated.
Okay. And I know that you're on Twitter. It's at Joey Image, correct?
Yeah. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay. And you're on Facebook as well, Joey Image. So we'll put those links up.
Yeah, if you go to facebook.com/realjoeyimage, you can find me on there. I add everybody.
Okay. We'll put those links up on our website tonight. Joey, I really appreciate you taking the time out to be with us tonight. And usually the last thing we ask guests to do, if you just record a little bump for us, say,
this
is Joey Image. This is Joey Image. You're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show, and you can go whenever you'd like, sir.
Okay. Hey, this is Joey Image, and you are listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling.
That works for us. Joey, it's been really great. Really great to have you on the show.
I forgot to say show at the end.
Well, you can do it again if you want to.
I'll just say show, and then you can splice it together.
Yeah, with more work. Joey, we really appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
You certainly have a good night,
okay?
Thanks, man. Take care, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Joey.
And there goes Joey Image. That's pretty cool.
He is really cool. I immediately liked him when I started interacting with him on Twitter. You know, great kind of laid-back guy, and I certainly hope that he gets to return to the ring soon.
And what we had talked about when we wanted to bring Joey on, and I'm really glad that he talked about it. You know, all too often we hear about guys that are getting hurt, and I'm fascinated by, you know, the determination and one's passion over, you know, the physical body. You know, what can be done and what can't be done. You know, you're sitting across from a doctor, and you're looking at an MRI, and he's telling you, you know what, bub, I think it's time to hang it up. You know, and what that thought process is, you know, and we talked about, you know, guys getting concussions or, you know, like Sam Bradford playing for St. Louis. You know, he's got another torn ACL and more than likely,
right,
you know, he's done for the year, but more than likely gone from football in general. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So I wanted to know what the thought process is for wrestlers, you know, and any athlete. I'm sure that it has, you know, the same impact, but a lot of times, and you know this to be true, Laura, we talk to wrestlers, and even though guys that have been in the business for years and years and years and years and years tell younger guys, you know, be mentally tough, you know, be physically ready and have a plan B. A lot of guys don't have a plan B, you know, and Joey seems to be smart enough and intact enough that he has this plan B in place. He already knows what he's wanting to do. You know, we certainly, you know, hope that he doesn't have to use plan B, but, you know, that's one of the things that has always stood out to me. If you ever listen to any of Jim Ross's work, anytime that he's ever talked about signing any talent, he will always tell him, have a plan B, have a backup plan.
Oh, most certainly. And, you know, look at Vader, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he was, I can't remember what exactly he was doing, but, you know, he had a college degree in a time in which wrestlers didn't have college degrees.
Correct.
JBL
played the stock market.
Yep.
He made a lot of money in the stock market. You know, there.
Exactly.
You know, even if your plan B is investing your money, you know, doing something other than spending, you know, $5,000 a night when you only made four, you know, plan B is a plan B. You know, you have to do something. So, you know, and he mentioned Kane briefly talking about insurance. You know, Kane's also involved in politics. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, yeah.
So, always, you know, always have a plan B. Always have a plan B. Very cool tonight to have the people that we've had on. Very cool to have Pandora on. Really appreciate her time. Very cool to have Joey on. Both of them, just great people. Great people. Wish them nothing but the best.
You know, when I approached Joey to come on the show, he was like, well, you know, I don't know how, you know, entertaining I'll be. And I was like, well, you've got plenty of stories, and you yourself have a story to tell that I'm sure lots of people would like to hear. So, yeah, if you're out there and you're an independent wrestler and you don't think you have a story to tell, I bet you do. And if you'd like to be on our show, just contact me and Bob at Facebook or at From the Armory on Twitter. You know, we would love to have you on. I just want to throw that out.
Absolutely. And before I forget about it, we've got plenty of time, but I'm fading quick. The halls are starting to go to my head. Next week's guests are James Bruner. You've got some background info on James, don't you?
Yeah, he is a ref. He's a really good ref for Milestone. He also did some reffing for XWW, which I want to talk about real quick here in just a second. And he was also on the first $5 wrestling show that I went to, the Five Ever. He was a manager for some, I think Mike Levy was one person that he was a manager for. But, yeah, James is an interesting character. I saw him at the PWX show in Hickory. He's really excited about coming on, and I'm excited about talking to him and getting his perspective of, you know, being around the wrestling business for as long as he has been.
And our second guest for next week's show will be Derek Gamble, will be joining us.
You probably know Derek Gamble, but you don't know that you know him because he's the guy behind the High Spots gimmick table, and he's on YouTube. And he also is behind the High Spots gimmick table at a lot of wrestling shows. And I just wanted to have him on to get a perspective that we may not have had before as someone who's in the wrestling in the indie wrestling industry as, you know, I don't want to say, I guess someone who's running the gimmick table on that side of it, of, you know maybe marketing and selling of the gimmicks. So I thought that would be interesting to have Mr. Gamble on there. And plus, you know, Derek is hilarious, so I think we'll have a good time with Derek. So
I'll put it in layman's terms for you, folks. If he's been running the High Spots gimmick table, I bet you he's seen some crazy shit at independent wrestling shows. That's what we're trying to say in a polite manner. I bet you he's seen some crazy shit. So stick around for that one. I really want to talk to him. I can only imagine the stories that Derek has. So we're very excited to have both James and Derek on next week.
Speaking of, I wanted to get a little mention out to two of our good friends, the Dynamic Duos of Wrestling. They have put out a new TV show. I have not watched it yet, but just wanted to give a shout-out to Mike Mahoney and my good friend Tim Cole. So they helped put us over. Just wanted to get that out there. And also wanted to mention both my good friend, your good friend, Big Donnie, is having a show in Burke County, and it is tomorrow night at the Burke County Fair.
Okay.
It is the Freedom Wrestling Alliance wrestling show. Tessa Blanchard is going to be on the card. Mr. Number One George South is going to be there. Ricky Morton, the Burke County Boys, Brock Phoenix, Miles Long, J.J. Diamond, Lil Donnie. Lil Donnie's on the card. It's always great. But just wanted to give a shout-out to that. I believe it starts at 8 o'clock, but you can find out more if you go on Donnie's Facebook page, which is Donald Webb Jr., I believe. You can find out more there. And you can also find out information on Miss Amy Scott's Facebook page. So go out and support our good friends, our Burke County guys, and see some great
Heroes
wrestling.
Burke County.
I mean, those are exactly. I mean, those are some good names right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Did want to tell folks, I did go to the NWA Bayou Independent Wrestling Show this past weekend at the West Monroe Convention Center with my son. Had a great time. The first thing that I wanted to mention right off the bat was the referees wearing the official NWA official logo on blue shirts instead of the standard black and white, you know, stripe, this, that, and the other.
Right.
You know, some people made some comments like, what kind of, you know, is that, you know, what's that, you know? I got to looking at the patch and all that. How cool it was to see that NWA logo on the rest. I'm just saying, sometimes, folks, it's the little things that make things stand out. Very, very cool to see that. Had a great time. Was a little disappointed right off the get-go. Steve Anthony was booked to be there. That's why they call it card subject to change. I get it. I'm grown up enough. I know the whole deal. Steve Anthony was not there. And Charlie Haas, who was booked, or billed to be there was not there, and I could not tell you because Laura and I had talked about this off air. It has been some time since I had seen Charlie Haas's name on a card, so I'm not quite sure what happened or what didn't happen. I really couldn't give you any information, but I was kind of disappointed that those two weren't there. But they made the most of it. Some very entertaining matches. Vordell Walker was there. John Saxon. Always enjoy John Saxon wrestling. Got to see Lance Hoyt. Met Lance Hoyt. Very nice guy. Tall is the sun is high in the sky. I mean, and I put a picture up of it. This dude is a mountain of a dude. You know, it's like looking up to him. Hi, Mr. Hoyt. How are you? Very nice guy, though. Very personable. Got to see some other people that were there. Had a really good time. Got to watch a guy named Dirty Andy Dalton, who wrestles primarily out of the Texas area. He was pretty cool. They had a live band there. The band's name was In Silenced. I understand that they're going to have an album coming out next month. The band was really good. Just all in all, had a good time. I'm continuing to be impressed with NWA Bayou Independent and just some of the logo, just some of the franchises, the promotions, I should say, that NWA has started to envelop under their ring, under their name, under the ring. See where this is going? It's going downhill quick. And speaking of that, Laura had mentioned something to me prior before we went on air about Global Wrestling Federation. This is one that folks will know is Jeff Jarrett's promotion. And we were kicking something back and forth. And Laura, if you can pull up the information, you knew it, that they had worked out a deal with some Australian wrestling promotions?
Yes, Explosive, I think that's Perth Wrestling is called, and it's another one called PWA, Riot City Wrestling, and Wrestle Clan. So, okay. Yeah.
Here's my take on it, folks. I'm going to run this past you, and you can message me on Twitter, or you can put it on Facebook, or the same with Laura. There's something going on here that, and I'm going to run this past you, and I'm going to leave it open, and you can make up your own mind on this. You know, Laura and I were talking. Jeff Jarrett has worked out deals with, AAA Mexico. He's worked out a deal with, was it New Japan? He's worked out deals with this Australian company. And what I had mentioned to Laura is that it almost sounds as if Jeff Jarrett is trying to take this Global Wrestling Federation and make it the NWA 2.0, if you follow where I'm going with this. It's like he is going to put different talent underneath this promotion's logo, and it's going to be, obviously, worldwide, but it sounds almost as if it's going to be like an NWA thing where it's going to be instead of the old territories, it's going to be worldwide promotions. Now, how would this work? Well, the way that I see it working is that I would think that it would be easier to do financially, have wrestlers from Australia and Japan travel back and forth, and you do a super show, you know, that kind of thing. I don't see how financially viable it would be to have, what's the word I'm looking for, Laura, to have these guys travel to do a weekly show. And, I think what
right.
this is, I think that we're talking about maybe an online promotion where your matches are going to be viewed online. That's where I'm, if you can follow me, folks, and I know I'm hazy from all the cold medicine, but that's what it almost sounds like to me. That's where I'm feeling like this might be going. These different promotions folded up underneath, or different talents folded up underneath the Global Wrestling Federation franchise, similar to the old NWA days. It's just fast forwarded into the present. That's the way it appears. I could be wrong, but what do you think, Laura?
I think you hit the money on. I think you hit the money on the nail, on the head.
You want some of that NyQuil I've got too?
I think so. I'm running low on Conlyade. I think that if you know, a big super show would be absolutely awesome. Like, get everybody together once a year. But yeah, I think that's. I think he's really putting the global. And I don't think in the name, because I don't think that was just a coincidence, or I don't think he thought, oh, this sounds really good. I think I'll try this out. I think he really is trying to go global. And,
yeah,
if he does, you know, he may give Vince a run for his money.
What I'm talking about is if you held a card, say, once a month or once every 3 months in a three-month turn, if you held that card in that promotion's own territory, say in Japan or in Australia or
right.
in Mexico, and you brought in the talents from Japan or Australia to Mexico for that one show once every 3 months, once every 2 months, whatever he's talking about, you did a bunch of taping, okay? You bring him in for 3, 4, 5 days, whatever it is, because you know they're going to sell out in these foreign arenas 3, 4 days in a row. I mean, look at the Tokyo Dome. When they run shows at the Tokyo Dome 3 days in a row, 65,000 people sold out every night. You know, I think exactly. And then you put those episodes out online. Now, I don't know if he's going to charge, you know, pay-per-view fees, this, that, and the other. This is just where my thought process is, folks. That's where I kind of think this whole global, it's too coincidental that you're working out all these partnerships in Canada, Mexico, Japan, Australia, you know, not to have something like that. You know, logistically, financially, you would have to have the shows in that promotion's home area and bring people in and vice versa all the way around. So that's what I think.
I think so. And real quickly, I would just like to give a shout-out to a friend of mine who also does a podcast, but he does not do a live podcast. Mr. Ryan Martell did a very poignant and very personal podcast for the first half, talking about the time in which he fell in love. And I think that, and the reason I'm talking about this is I think that is what I think people like about our show, is the fact that we talk about wrestling, but we also talk about things that maybe you can relate to them. I mean, I asked Joey Image what his favorite Monkey song was. Mm-hmm. I've asked Tessa Blanchard, so did you really steal those Sour Patch Kids? I think getting to know people and getting to the heart of not just basic, you know, where did you train? Who did you train with? You know, you want to know those things, but I think you want to know a little personal information about you know, people, you know, just to relate to them. And I think we do
right.
a good job of that.
Yeah, I've got a question. Where's my personalized thank you tweet, Caleb Conley, for my Kickstarter donation? Folks, next week our guests are James Brewer and Derek Gamble will be joining us. We thank you for tuning in wherever you may be at, however you may be listening to us. You can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio live every Wednesday night. You can download us on iTunes. We can be heard on www.fnxnetwork.com. And, folks, we will see you next week. We thank you very much for tuning in, again, wherever you may be at. And remember, there is never a bad seat here at the Armory. We'll see you next week.
Been listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. Listen to us on blogtalkradio.com every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at From the Armory. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/live.armory.9. If you like what you hear, please take a few moments to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you for listening. See you next week.